He sighed. Well, the pastor says, well, what for? Why? He said, well, I'm turning it in. I'm quitting. And like a police officer surrendering his weapon and his badge, he explains to the pastor, he said, I'm not going to try to do this anymore. I'm giving you my Bible. I can't do it. Now, have you ever felt that way? Well, this is, you might think, well, this is more than I can bear. It's more than I could do. And the reality is I completely understand, because the demands of a Christ-honoring life are not just challenging, though they are challenging. They are not just difficult, though they are difficult. The demands of a Christ-honoring life in human power are absolutely impossible. And if that's you, then our look into the Bible today is just for you. We are in a series entitled Experiencing the Holy Spirit. So far, I've preached to you on Happy Birthday, Born of the Spirit. And I've preached to you on What's New, the Work of the Spirit. And two sermons on Help Needed, the Necessity of the Spirit. I preached to you about It's Who You Know, Knowing the Spirit. And today I'm going to preach to you on this subject, step by step, walking in the Spirit. So turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And in a moment when you find it, I'll have you stand and read this one verse, and we'll read it together aloud as a congregation. Galatians chapter 5. And the verse that we're going to read aloud together is verse 16 of Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Would you stand with me, please? And let's read together this one scripture aloud. Here we go. The Word of God says this, lifting our voices. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's pray and ask God to guide us and speak to us. So God, we are thankful that the Holy Spirit, you is God, the triune God. God, the Holy Spirit, isn't just a force. He is not just something we know about. He is real, and He is dealing with us. And You are working in our lives even today. You already have begun this work and are continuing this work. And so as I preach to you, or preach about You, God the Spirit, I pray that You then would do the work that You do in all of us. For me as the preacher, I yield to Your control, Your filling. For our congregation, they, as I need Your help to preach and to receive, they will need Your help to receive what You have. And so, God, we pray that You would do Your will and Your work, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? How many of you have been walking for a long time? Have you been walking for a long time? Even since way back, right? Yeah, you remember. But you don't remember when you didn't walk. All you remember is when you're walking. And how do you walk? Did you think about that this morning? Maybe you didn't. Most of us don't think about walking until we're having trouble walking, right? But here's how you walk. You got up and you took a step. And after you took one step, you moved forward, you took another step. Each step, following the other, each step you're putting your weight, you're depending on that next step to hold you up. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit means this. It means that I take a step in life, moment by moment, day by day, and I realize that, God, I need Your help and Your support. I'm depending on You, and I'm taking another step. And, God, I need Your help. I'm depending on You, and, God, I need another step. Walking in the Spirit means that there is a constant awareness and dependence on the Holy Spirit to help you and enable your life. just like you're walking. Walking in the Spirit is just that. It's that every step that I take, every step you take, I'm aware that I need the help of God the Spirit, and I am dependent on the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the issue of walking in the Spirit is? It's not determination, but dependence. It's not trying, but trusting. It is relying on the Holy Spirit to do His work in us and through us. And I say to you that this is the only option for believers in Jesus Christ to live in the power of God and in victory, step by step by step. The only way. The man I told you about who's just ready to turn the Bible in and ready to just give up. What's his answer? Well, it's the same answer that you and I need when we just want to give up. And it is walking step by step in dependence on the Holy Spirit. So I say it is the only option for victory. And I'm going to share with you four reasons why walking in the Spirit is the only option for victory. Now, I'm going to set your mind at ease. And that is that there are four reasons, but we'll only get to two today. So everybody can take a deep breath when we're done with number two and you say, oh my word, is he ever going to be done? Hold on, you'll be back with us the next time we're on this subject. So here are the first two of the four reasons why walking in the Spirit is the only option for God's power and victory in your life. Here's the first. The first is this, because the demand is so great. Because the demand is so great. What if I gave you a Bible study project and I said, here's what we're going to do. I want you to get your pencil out. I want you to get a concordance. And how many of you own a concordance, a paper concordance, big book, Strong's exhaustive concordance? How many of you gave up on that and use your phone now for your concordance, right? Yeah, a lot fast. Hey, it's a lot easier to carry too. Really convenient, but let's say, okay, whatever your form of concordance is, let's do this. If I gave you this Bible study project, I want you to go into your concordance, and at all of the letters, the epistles, I want you to look at every reference to walking and tell me what you find. Now, do you know what you would find? You would probably be amazed at how much God talks about and how much God is concerned with your walk. In fact, let's walk through a few of these scriptures together. Would you keep your place, of course, in Galatians 5, mark it, we'll come back to it. But would you go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 13? Romans, chapter 13. In verse 13 of Romans 13, Romans 13, 13, God says, let us walk honestly as in the day. Honestly, walk honestly. He continues on, not in rioting and drunkenness. Hey, that's the party life. And then he says, not in chambering and wantonness. Those are incredibly descriptive and picturesque words. I wish I had time, but we don't have time. That is the promiscuous life. And then you'll notice, if you will, he says, and not in strife and envying. That's the resentful life. So walk honestly. Then go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Are you there? Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by faith, say it with me, not by sight. Now go from 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in good works. You'll need to go across the page, or maybe a page turn for you, depending on your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Walk worthy of your vocation. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Excuse me, not verse 8. Verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved the church and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. If we had time, I'd have you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Walk worthy of the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that abideth in him, that's in Jesus, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, to walk as Jesus walked. And you look at this, just a handful of passages, and if you wrote those down, and you look at this list, and you say, wait, this is the demand that God has given me, and I look at that list, and I see it, and I get the picture, and I just want to do like that man, and turn my Bible in, and say, I can't do this. And you would be right. Absolutely right. You see, this is not a walk in the park. It's not a tiptoe through the tulips. This is, can I put it this way? Walking in the power of the Spirit is power walking. You need God's enabling power to live up to this list of expectations. You can't do it on your own. So it is that God has called us to walk in the Spirit. So you need God's power that you don't have the capacity to do. I can't do this. In fact, you might even want to look at your neighbor and say, I can't do this. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Talk to your neighbor. Say, I can't do this. Yeah, and your neighbor knows it. Don't worry. They're not the least bit surprised. You can't. You see, you need power you don't have. It's impossible on your own. So we come back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. And it tells us, and God tells us here, that we are to walk in the Spirit in dependence on him to give you the power that you don't have. Why is walking in the Spirit the only option? Because the demand is so great. Hey, there's another reason why walking in the Spirit has to be the only option for a believer to live a Christ-honoring life. Here's what it is. Number two, because the command is so great. The command is so great. And this leads us to study this passage in greater detail. In fact, this is a command that is great, and you know it's such a great command by the construction of the command. The way God says it, it's not an option. It's not, well, if I want to or not. The way God said it, it is not a convenience, whether it's convenient for me or not, or whether I want to, or whether this is something that I want right now, or I feel like it. This is a command. Let me ask the kids, how many of you kids know the difference between a command and a suggestion from your parents? How many of you know the difference? You know the difference, right? When your parents say, okay, in our family, everybody does chores. We all take responsibility for our family, and all of us have a responsibility. And your mom or dad says to you, your chore is to feed the dog. And when your parents say your job is to feed the dog, is that a command or a suggestion? Kids, what is it, a command or a suggestion? How many of you kids wish it were a suggestion? How many of you kids know it's a command? How many of you kids want your parents to get you a dog so you can follow a command like that? I'm stirring it up here, aren't I? I'm stirring it up. Hey, sure. And I don't know if you know this about dogs, but if you feed them once, they keep eating. Have you found that out about dogs? They keep eating. And so what you have to do is mom and dad say, your job is to feed the dog, and this is your chore, and every time the dog needs fed, you are the one responsible. You see, when there's a command given, it means that I'm responsible to complete that command. Now, this may be sometimes some confusion, right? Because kids sometimes think that mom and dad's commands are suggestions. And that can create a little bit of confusion, a little bit of conflict that you have to work through in your family. Now, when God says in this passage with the grammatical construction, God says, this is the command, walk in the Spirit. It means that you and I have an absolute obligation to walk in the Spirit in dependence upon Him. And it isn't just a one-time thing. This is something that God has commanded us to regularly, continually do, to step by step depend upon the Holy Spirit's enabling power. You know it's great because of the construction of this command, but there's something else. You know it's a great command by the contrast of the command. So you look at your Bible again, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see the contrast here? There's walking in the Spirit, and there is the lust of the flesh. Now, when you walk in the Spirit, there's liberty. When you live in control of the flesh and the lust of the flesh, there is slavery. When you walk in the Spirit, there's freedom. When you live under the lust and the control of your flesh and your selfish desires, there's bondage. Oh, go with me. Keep your place in Galatians 5 and go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to what God says about liberty. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what, church? You'd better believe it. You see, when the Holy Spirit's in control of your life, there's liberty to be experienced and known. And when He's not in control of your life, you are on your way and already in bondage. Now go with me from there to one more passage I want you to read. And let the word speak to you as I read this word. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'll begin reading in verse 11. I'll read through verse 19. Romans 6 verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves as unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're under law, not under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. But as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You see, when you surrender your will to God the Spirit, my friends, this is where He brings liberty. When you yield yourself to the flesh, it brings slavery. The Spirit of God brings freedom. The Flesh brings bondage. So let me ask you this. Which do you want? Which do you want? Do you want to live in liberty? Or do you want to live in slavery? Freedom, power, or bondage? Now be careful, because you can believe a lie. Because here's what you can believe. You can believe this lie that if I will just do what I want to do, and if I do what I want, then I'll do what I want, I'll get what I get, I'm going to be free. But be very careful, because what you'll find is you'll end up being a slave. But if you say, on the other hand, be careful. When God the Spirit is dealing with you, and He is dealing with your heart, and He's transforming you, and you say, God, I don't want to yield to you, and I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do what you want. You're going to bring me into bondage, and you're going to control me and make me a slave. But the reality is that when you do give your will to Him and you surrender to Him, He makes you free. Now, how many of you know it's easy to believe that lie? My way and that makes me free. That's a lie. And submitting to the will of God and the truth of the Spirit of God, that's going to make me a slave. That's a lie. In reality, you don't even know how free you are until you become free. You don't even know what a slave you are until you become free. And oh, how many of you know it's easy to believe that lie? How many of you know what I'm talking about? So which one do you want to believe? You ever believed a lie before? This is from, this is some famous American fibs. How about this one? The check is in the mail. Here's a great one. I'll start my diet tomorrow. Try that one on. How about this one? Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Or here's one for you kids especially. This hurts me more than it hurts you. How about this one? Open wide, it won't hurt a bit. Wow. Now, those are sort of fun to laugh about, but people that live in bondage to their selfish desires, it's not funny. When you don't have to and you can be free. Well, before you believe a lie, make sure you stop and think about God's truth. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I'm telling you, if you want to be free, as God is speaking and dealing with your heart today, as He deals with you throughout your life, make sure you say, God, I'm going to surrender to You, because otherwise you, my friend, will continue to live in bondage in some way or another. You'll miss out on the freedom that God has for you. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, you know this is a great command, and you know it's so great because of the construction of the command. You know it's so great because of the contrast of the command. But then I want you to notice the context of the command. Because this passage, you'll notice verse 16 again, begins with these words, "This I say then." And that tells you when you read it that this isn't just a guy who's spouting off. This is just a guy who is just talking out of his head. This is an individual who has come to this conclusion based on a reasoned thought process. he comes to a reasoned conclusion, and he says, okay, with all that I've come to, as I've thought this through, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it takes you back to the context of this passage. Would you please notice then, verse 13. And the immediate context begins with this, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Now that tells you something about what God has given you. Did you know God has given you, if you are in Christ, did you know that God has a calling for you? Absolutely. And God's calling for you is a calling, verse 13 again, to liberty. Did you know that God has called you to be free from the bondage? The bondage of sin, the bondage of yourself, the bondage of your emotions, the bondage of the ups and downs of life. He calls you to be free, no longer controlled by your selfish flesh. And until you're free, you don't realize how much in bondage you or how you've been or how far you've been in bondage. So there's a calling to liberty. And then you'll notice that God gives us a caution about liberty. And he warns us to be careful about self-indulging. So look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Well, I'm free in Christ. I can do anything I want to do. I can just live my life and do my thing. And I'm free in Christ. And in the name of liberty, you bring yourself back under the bondage of your flesh and yourself, sin. Be careful about using your liberty for self-indulgence. And then he gives another caution about liberty. Be careful about using your liberty to be self-serving. Keep reading in verse 13. Of course, we read, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Well, I'm free. I'm going to just serve myself and do whatever I want. And he says, hold on a second. You're going to become a slave. Because when you walk in the Spirit, now your life isn't yours. Your life is his. And you're depending on him. And when you walk in the flesh, it's all about you. And how you affect others doesn't matter. But when you walk in the Spirit, now other people matter. And your life influences somebody in some way. And so you watch how you walk. Now, is it true, yes or no, that when you are in Jesus Christ, that you have true liberty? Is that true, yes or no? You are so fun to preach to. You're quiet. You're so fun to preach to. Because some of you are yes, and some of you are like, I'm not sure what the answer is, and I'm not going to give an answer. So you're doing that right there. And you hope, maybe he'll let it go. I'm going to make everyone stand. No, I'm not going to. No. Is it true that when a person's in Christ, they are free? Well, yes, that is true. But does it mean that I can do what I want? No, that is not true. Because the freedom that you have in Christ is most enjoyed and most blessed when you live under his control and for his glory and his desires and his will. And you live for him rather than for you and for me. And then we're told something else. Well, let me say this, and here's the caution. I'm going to give it to you in one phrase. When you abuse your liberty, you lose your liberty. Can I say that again? When you abuse your liberty, you lose your liberty. Because you're still controlled by that selfish, sinful nature that's at enmity with God, that is the war of your soul. You're not free to go under bondage. God makes you free to make you free. So when you abuse your liberty, you lose your liberty. Well, then, God tells us about our calling to liberty, and God tells us about some cautions about our liberty, but then God gives us some considerations for our liberty. We read about them in verse 14 and then verse 15. And we're told in verse 14 that love-driven liberty is constructive. Look at your Bible. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Does that sound familiar to you when you read it? It should. Because remember, this is when Jesus was asked about what's the greatest commandment. He said, here's the greatest commandment. You read about it in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like to it: to love your neighbor as yourself. And as much as you love yourself, love others that much. Because when you walk in the Spirit and the Spirit of God empowers your life, now your life is given over to building and blessing other people. Boy, you'd better believe that love-driven liberty is constructive. But we're also told in verse 15 that self-driven liberty is destructive. And let me tell you what happens when you're driven by yourself. Look at verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Destructive. And all of this brings us to the conclusion that makes this command so great. We read about it in verse 16. We are told this: but this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many of you have ever purchased a product with a guarantee? Who's purchased a product with a guarantee? Have you? Now, why is it that we like to purchase products with a guarantee? Well, I think it's because what makes a guarantee so great is it takes out all the risk. You buy this product, and it comes to your house and from the Amazon guy, and you pick it up, and what you thought was going to be 4 feet long and 3 feet high is 4 inches long and 3 inches high. That's happened to you, hasn't it? Or the product description said it would do this and do this and do this and do this, and you're so excited about it, and then you get the product, and you say, oh my, it doesn't do what it says. Or is it going to fit? Or is it going to work? Or is it going to do this? Whatever the reason. But you love the idea of a guarantee because the risk is taken out. Hey, I can send it back. A no-risk guarantee. Now, in this passage of Scripture, God gives you a guarantee. And here's His guarantee. When you walk in the Spirit, moment by moment, step by step, dependence on the Holy Spirit, here's God's guarantee. God's guarantee is it's the only way that you can be liberated from the lust of the flesh. He'll make you free. That selfish desire, the sinful reaction, the controlling habit, whatever it is that the flesh manifests itself in your life, God's guarantee is if you want to be made from the control and the power of that flesh, is that He will do it for you. He will, He can, and He will. But the only way for this to happen is for you to listen to a hot sermon. Now, I'm for hot sermons. But the only way for this to become reality is for you, when you respond to the Spirit of God in a hot sermon, God, the Spirit, help me. I need you to help me, God, the Spirit. I'm aware how much I need your help. God, help me. You're aware. Your Spirit is giving me power. You've promised to give me the power that I need. Do you know what will happen? God will give you the opportunity of experiencing His guarantee. And in time, He will free you from the lust of the flesh. Step by step, walking in dependence on the Holy Spirit. I was preaching to you one time about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And really, it's the same truth with a different image to help us to understand it as we live our life in God's power and with God's help. And I gave you three words that would help you. And there are three words I want to share with you again today that will help you to walk in the Spirit and experience God's power to free you. It'll help you this week. It'll help you when you leave this afternoon. It'll help you throughout this week. In fact, what you'll find is the longer you take these three words and they become a part of your life, the more powerful the work of God in your life will be. Here are the three words. The first word is consciously. You don't think about it too much, most of us, until you have a problem with a foot. You have a surgery, you have an accident. But boy, you better believe you become very conscious when you are uneasy about taking that step. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You better believe it. You don't walk in the Spirit accidentally. Like, ooh, I've got this feeling comes over me. No. Walking in the Spirit, because it's a command, places a responsibility on you and me. It is conscious. Consciously. You're living, you're working in your shop, you're going to your school, you're working on your job, you're taking care of things at your house, you're interacting with people, and you say, oh God, I need your help consciously. Here's the second word. The second word is consistently. Because you're not going to break the power of sin and of the flesh with just an afternoon. This is a lifetime of walking and watching God do this in your life, little by little, breaking the power of sin. And as you interact with new things in your life and challenges happen, breaking the power of the flesh. And so consciously, consistently, throughout a day, a week, consistently. And here's the third word. The third word is completely. See, you walk, you don't think about it, but whatever your weight is, whenever you take that next step, all, whatever those pounds, fill in the blank, all of your weight goes on that foot. Then you take another step. All of your poundage goes on that foot. And you don't think about it too much until you have a problem and your foot gives way. And how many of you know what that's like? Huh? Yeah. You see everything completely. And God says, this is the way it is. If you want to know my power to free you from bondage and slavery, consciously, consistently, completely. And here's the insight God gave me when I preached to you about this that has really helped me. And in fact, I can tell you about some times that I wasn't paying attention and I wish it would have helped me because I wasn't living consciously, consistently, completely. And I say that to my shame. Here's what I've realized. Consciously and consistently. You don't know about that until tomorrow. till this afternoon. You can't do anything. Now, you plan for it. You should expect it. And you say, God, help me in this. And I'm preparing for this. But that's not a decision you make until this afternoon or this evening or tomorrow or at the moment you're at a time of temptation or the moment that that happens at your workplace or the moment. And those are things that will happen then. But here's what I know. The only guaranteed decision that you can make about this right now is the third word, completely. When does it start? It starts right now. When you say, God, the Spirit, at this point, as you are dealing with my heart, I am completely yielding myself to you. And this afternoon, consciously, consistently, but again, completely. So what's going to happen is this. Each of us is going to walk out of this church building today. All of us, I hope, have an intention of consciously, consistently walking in the Spirit. But each of us will know when we leave today whether we have completely made a decision to yield to the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me, please? Our heads are bowed, and so, God, we are praying now. You have dealt with us. Your Spirit is helping. Sometimes he helps with that encouragement. Sometimes he helps with such clear conviction. And he is bringing us to decision points. And so, Lord God, I'm asking, as you are dealing with us and we are at points of decision, I'm asking for you now to give us the enabling power to yield completely. Now, before I'm done praying about this, I'm going to ask first, if you know without a question in your own mind and heart, based on the Bible, that you have been born of the Spirit, you have new life in Christ by putting trust in Him alone. Let me ask you this then. Is God encouraging you and challenging you? Yielded completely? Are you experiencing the freedom that He has for you? And do you want to experience it in a greater way? I want you to know that as God is dealing with your heart, your response now is on you. It's your responsibility. But if you'd like someone to pray with you about some things, maybe you and God just want, you want some time alone with God, and you would come to these steps or these front chairs as an altar to say, God, help me. It may be that you have a prayer burden that you just want to come to the Lord and say, oh, God, help us. And God, we're praying for this. And oh, God, I want you to intervene. Would you, by your Spirit, do a work here? This altar is for you. If you have not yet, though, let's say that you haven't been born of the Spirit of God, and you don't know that you have this new life in Christ, an absolute assurance of the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, God is even drawing you, and this is the moment for you to call on Him. And I want to invite you to come and have some questions answered if that's the need. Maybe you've even right now, you've said, God, I know I can't save myself. Jesus is the only way. And you turn from your sin and put your trust in Him, even in your chair. And you just want to share that with someone here. And just say, I just called on the Lord to save me once and for all. Then we'll rejoice with you. But this is the time for you to respond to the Spirit of God while He's speaking. Let's continue praying. Now, God, you're faithful and true. And I pray now that as you have been faithful to speak to us, that we would be faithful in our response to you. Help us to be as honest with ourselves and with you as you are with us. And so we ask for your help. And we ask for you to help individuals in a powerful way to know and take more steps in liberty, free from the bondage of the flesh. For we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The instruments are playing. And this is your time. This altar is for you. You need to be born of the Spirit of God. This is a time for you. Do you need to be born again? You come on. Do you need God's power to overcome? This is your time to respond. Go ahead.
Have your attention up this way. Several announcements. Want to let you know about this week. One thing we're looking